Blood Ties by Melinda M. Snodgrass. Read for you by Raphael Sparge. 1.
I quit! He doesn't need a tutor, he needs a warden, a goddamn animal trainer, a stint in the pen!
The slam of the door shook papers from the stacks that stood on his desk like the bastions of a white cellulose fortress. Tachyon, a rental contract, hanging limply from long fingers, stared bemusedly at the door. It cracked open. A pair of eyes, swimming like blue moons behind thick lenses, peered cautiously around the door.
Sorry,
whispered Dita. Quite all right. How many does that make? She eased one shapely buttock under the corner of his desk. Tachyon's eyes slid to the expanse of white thigh, revealed by the hitch of her miniskirt. 3.
Maybe school?
Maybe not. Tack repressed a shudder as he contemplated the havoc his grandchild would wreak in the dog-eat-dog world of public school. With a sigh, he folded the apartment lease and slipped it into a pocket. I'll have to go home and check on him, try to make some other arrangement.
These letters?
We'll have to wait. But some have waited 6 months. What's another few days?
Rounds?
I'll be back in time. Dr. Queen is not going to be happy with me. A common enough event.
You look tired.
I am. And so he was, he thought, as he walked down the steps of the Blythe Van Rensselaer Memorial Clinic, without bestowing his usual pats on the heads of the stone lions that flank the stairs. In the week since his return from the World Health Organization tour, there had been little time for rest. Worries snapped at him from all sides, his impotence, which left him, one should forgive the pun, with a growing sense of pressure and frustration. The candidacy of Leo Barnett, the crime wars that were threatening the peaceful, ha, life of Jokertown, James Spector wandering loose and continuing to kill. But all of this seemed oddly distant, so unimportant, mere bagatelles when compared with the arrival of a new presence in his life, an active 11-year-old boy playing havoc with his routines, making him realize just how very small a one-bedroom apartment could be, making him realize how long it took to find something larger and how much more it would cost. And then there was the problem of Blaze's power. During his childhood, Tachyon had frequently railed against the strictness of his Takesian Psylord upbringing. Now he wished he could apply some of that same severe punishment to his wayward heir, who could not be brought to realize the enormity of his sin when he casually exercised his Psy powers on the mind-blind humans that surrounded him. But to be honest, it was not simply a matter of sparing the rod. On Tacky's, a child learned to survive in the plot-ridden atmosphere of the women's quarters. Surrounded as they were by other mentats, children quickly became cautious about the unrestrained exercise of their power. No matter how powerful an individual might be, there was always an older cousin, uncle, or parent more experienced and more powerful. Upon their emergence from the harem, a child was assigned a companion slash servant from the lower orders. The intent was to instill in the young Psy Lord or Lady a sense of duty toward the simple folk they ruled. That was the theory. In actual fact, it generally created a sort of indulgent contempt for the vast bulk of the Takesian population, and a rather offhanded attitude that it really wasn't very interesting or sporting to compel servants. But there were tragedies, servants forced to destroy themselves upon a whim or a fit of fury on the part of their masters and mistresses. Tachyon rubbed a hand across his forehead and considered his options. To blather on about kindness and responsibility and duty, or to become the most dangerous thing in Blaze's life. But I wanted his love, not his fear. The boy reminded him of some feral woodland creature. Coiled in the big armchair, Blaze warily eyed his grandsire and tugged fretfully at the long points of the lacy Van Dyke collar that spilled over the shoulders of his white twill coat. Red stockings and a red sash at the waist echoed the blood-red of his hair. Tack tossed his keys onto the coffee table and sat on the arm of the sofa, keeping a careful distance from the hostile child.
Whatever he said, I didn't do it.
You must have done something. They spoke in French.
No.
Blaze, don't lie.
I didn't like him.
Tack drifted to the piano and played a few bars of a Scarlatti sonatina. Teachers aren't required to be your friends. They're meant to teach.
I know everything I need to know.
Oh? Tachyon drew out the word in one long, freezing accent. The child's chin stiffened, and Tack's shields repelled a powerful mind assault.
That's all I need to know, at least for ordinary people.
He blushed under his grandfather's level gaze.
I'm special.
Being an ignorant boor is unfortunately not terribly unique on this world. You should find yourself with plenty of company.
I hate you. I want to go home.
The final word ended on a sob, and Blaze buried his face in the chair. Tack crossed to him and gathered the sobbing boy into his arms. Oh, my darling, don't cry. You're homesick. That is natural. But there is no one for you in France. And I want you so very much.
There is no place for me here. You're just fitting me in the way you make room for a new book on the shelves.
Not true. You have given my life meaning. The remark was too obscurely adult to reach the child, and Tachyon tried again. I think I found a new apartment. We'll go there this very afternoon, and you can tell me just how you want your room.
Really?
Truly. He scrubbed the child's face with his handkerchief. But now I must return to work, so I will take you to baby, and she will tell you tales of your blood.
Très bien.
Tack felt a momentary flare of guilt. For his plan was designed less for Blaze's pleasure than to assure his good behavior. Locked within the walls of this sentient and intelligent Takesian ship, Blaze would be safe, and the world at large would be safe from him. But only in English, Tachyon added sternly. Blaze's face fell. Don't be. Back to the clinic for 5 hours of frenzied work. Most of it, unfortunately, of the paper variety. With a start, he remembered Blaze and hoped that baby had been very entertaining. Collecting the child, Tachyon hurried him to his karate lesson. Then he sat in the outer office reading the Times, a wary ear cocked toward the dojo. But Blaze was behaving. Wildcard/AIDS benefit concert to be held at Funhouse. How like Dez, Tachyon reflected. Interesting that this event was to take place in Jokertown. Probably no other forum in New York would host it. They would want to place plastic liners on the seats. There were a number of emotional similarities between the two scourges. As a biochemist, he saw a different correlation, herpes to wildcard, but a herpes/wildcard/AIDS benefit would offer far too many unfortunate opportunities for sexual innuendo. Warning, the Surgeon General has determined that fucking may be hazardous to your health. Well, I ought to live to be 2000, muttered Tack, crossing his legs. Blaze bounced out looking adorable in his little white gi. There had been an initial tussle with the manager of the karate school over that gi. The standard color was black, but despite 40 years on Earth, Tak still held a stubborn bias against the color. Laborers wore black, not aristocrats. The boy thrust his clothes into Tak's arms.
Aren't you going to change?
No.
He climbed onto a chair to investigate a display of shurikens, kusawagamas, and naginatas.
Is the language barrier a problem? He asked Tupola as he wrote out a check.
No. Even in just the past few days, his English has improved remarkably.
He's very bright.
Yes, I am, said Blaze, walking across the chairs to hug Takyan around the neck. Tupola frowned, twiddled a pen.
I wish you would show me some of this English improvement.
It's easier to speak French with you, Blaze said, lapsing into that tongue.
Tak ran a hand through his grandchild's straight red hair.
I think I shall have to develop selective deafness, he suddenly chuckled.
What?
Blaze tugged at his shoulder.
I was remembering an incident from my childhood. I wasn't much older than you, 15 or so. I had decided that physical workout was dull. Only the sparring really seemed to matter, so I had taken to ordering my bodyguards to do the workouts for me.
Tupuola laughed,
and Tak shook his head sadly.
I was an unbearable little prince.
So what happened?
My father caught me.
And?
Asked Blaze eagerly.
And he beat the crap out of me.
I'll bet your bodyguards enjoyed it. Chuckled Tupuola.
Oh, they were far too well trained to ever show emotion, but I do seem to recall a few telltale lip twitches. It was very humiliating, he sighed.
I would have stopped him, said Blaze, his eyes kindling.
Ah, but I respected my father, and I knew he was right to chastise me, and it would have violated the tenets of Sai to engage in a long, drawn-out mind battle with my sire in front of servants. Also, I might have lost.
He flicked a forefinger across the tip of the boy's nose.
Always a consideration when you're a Takesian.
The Tenets of Sai. Sounds like a mystic book out of the 60s, mused Tupuola.
Tak rose.
Perhaps I'll write it.
He turned to his grandchild. And speaking of the 60s, there is someone I want you to meet.
Someone fun?
Yes, and kind, and a good friend.
The corners of Blaze's mouth drooped.
Not someone I can play with?
No, but he does have a daughter.
Behold me, Mark, I am home!
Tak announced with a swirl of his plumed hat from the front door of the Cosmic Pumpkin, food for body, mind, and spirit, head shop, and delicatessen. Dr. Mark Meadows, a.k.a. Captain Trips, hung stork-like over the counter, a freshly opened package of tofu balanced delicately on his fingertips.
Oh, wow, Doc. Good to see you.
Mark, my grandson, Blaze.
He pulled him from where the child had been hiding behind him and pushed him gently forward.
Blaze, je vous présente Monsieur Mark Meadows.
Enchanté, monsieur.
Mark flashed Blaze a peace sign and Tak a sharp glance.
I can see you've got a lot to tell.
Indeed, yes, and a favor to ask.
Anything, man. Name it.
Takion glanced significantly down at Blaze.
In a moment. First, I want Blaze to make Sprout's acquaintance.
Sure.
They climbed the steep steps to Mark's apartment, left Blaze playing with Mark's lovely but sadly retarded 10-year-old daughter, and settled in the hippie's tiny, cluttered lab.
So, like, tell all?
Overall, it was a nightmare. Death. Starvation. Disease. But at the end, Blaze. And suddenly, it all becomes worthwhile.
Takion halted his nervous pacings.
He's the focus of my life, and I want him to have everything, Mark.
Kids don't need everything, man. They just need love.
Tack laid a hand fondly on the human's skinny shoulder.
How good you are, my dear, dear friend.
But you haven't told me anything, how you found him, and what's the real poop on that shit that came down in Syria?
That's why I say it was a nightmare.
They talked, Tachyon touching on his fears for Peregrine, all of the events leading up to his discovery of Blaze. He omitted his final confrontation with Le Miroir, the French terrorist who had been controlling the quarter Takisian child. He sensed that gentle, sensitive Mark might be shocked at Tachyon's cold-blooded execution of the man. It was something that, in retrospect, Tachyon wasn't very comfortable with himself. He reflected, a little sadly, that after an almost equal number of years on Takis and on Earth, he was still more of Takis than of Earth. He checked the watch set in his boot heel and exclaimed, "Burning sky, look at the time."
"Hey, great boots."
"Yes, I found them in Germany."
"Hey, about Germany."
"Another time, Mark, I must be going. Oh, what a fool I am. I came not only for the pleasure of seeing you, but to ask if I might occasionally borrow Dirk. He's virtually immune to the effects of mind control, and I can't keep Blaze with me constantly, nor can I continue to lock him away and baby every time I have other responsibilities. Dirk is a babysitter. It sort of boggles the mind."
"Yes, I know. And believe me, it goes very much against the grain to have Zeb's monster guarding my heir. But Blaze is like a swarm mother among planets if I leave him unattended with normal humans. You see, he has no self-discipline, and I'm damned if I can see how to instill it in him."
Trips dropped an arm over Tachyon's shoulder, and they walked to the door of the lab.
"Time. Give it time. And relax with it, man. Nobody's born a father.
Or even a grandfather."
Mark looked down into the delicate, youthful face and chuckled.
"I think he's going to have a hard time relating to you as Gramps. You're going to have to settle for..."
The sight in the living room knocked wind and words from Mark's throat. Sprout was down to her teddy bear panties, daintily dancing while she sang a little song. Giggling, Blaze bounced on the sofa and manipulated her like a puppet.
"Kish Dad, isn't she funny? Her mind is so simple."
Tachyon's power lashed out, and Sprout, suddenly freed from this terrifying outside control, burst into frightened and disoriented tears. Mark gathered her in a tight embrace.
"Simple! I will show you a simple mind!"
The boy jerked about the room like a rusty automaton under the brutal imperative of his grandfather's mind.
"Is this pleasant? Do you enjoy—"
"No, man, no! Stop it!"
Tachyon rocked under the hard shaking.
"It's okay,"
Trips added in a more moderate tone, as the devil's mask that had slipped over Tachyon's normally pleasant features faded.
"I'm sorry, Mark," Tack whispered. "So very sorry."
"It's okay, man. Let's just all calm down."
Tachyon dropped into telepathy.
"Can you ever forgive me?"
"Nothing to forgive, man."
Meadows dropped to one knee before the sobbing boy took him gently by the shoulders.
"You see? You're as scared as Sprout was. It's no fun to be in somebody else's power. And yeah, Sprout's mind is weak, but that's all the more reason for someone strong like you to be kind and to look out for people like her. You understand?"
Blaze slowly nodded, but Tachyon didn't trust the shuttered expression in those purple, black eyes. And sure enough, as soon as they were out on the street in front of the Cosmic Pumpkin, the boy said,
"What a wimp! Get in that taxi!"
Ancestors. Glass crunched under boot heels, and for a brief, breath-catching moment, time rolled back,
and the past clung like a gnawing animal at his throat. Glass shattering and falling, mirrors breaking on all sides, silvered knives flying through the air, blood spattering against the cracked mirrors. Tachyon shook himself free of the waking nightmare and stared at the carnage that filled the funhouse. A janitor, with enough arms to handle 3 brooms, was busily sweeping up the broken glass that littered the floor. Dez, gray-faced and frowning, was talking with a man in a business suit. Tachyon joined them.
I'm not entirely certain your policy...
Of course not. Why should I think that 24 years of premiums paid on time and no claims made should entitle me to any coverage now? Spat Dez.
I'll check, Mr. Desmond, and get back to you.
What, by the purity of the ideal, is going on here?
You want a drink?
Please.
Tachyon pulled out his wallet, and Dez stared down at the bills, a funny little smile twisting his lips, the fingers at the end of his incongruous trunk twitching slightly.
The alien flushed and said defensively, I pay for my drinks.
Now.
That was a long time ago, Dez.
True.
Tachyon kicked at a sliver of mirror, though God knows this brings it all back. Christmas Eve, 1963. Mal's been dead a long time.
And soon you will be too.
No, impossible to speak such words. But would Dez ever speak? While Tachyon, of course, respected the old Joker's desire for privacy as he prepared to die, it nonetheless hurt that he maintained his silence.
How am I to say farewell to you, old friend? And soon it will be too late.
The cognac exploded like a white-hot cloud on the back of his throat, banishing the lump that had settled there. Tachyon set aside the glass and said,
You never answered my question.
What's to answer?
Dez, I'm your friend. I've drunk in this bar for over 20 years. When I enter and find it busted all to hell, I want to know why.
Why?
Maybe I can do something.
Tachyon tossed down the rest of his drink and frowned up into Dez's faded eyes. Dez swept away the glass and refilled it. For 20 years, I've been paying protection to the Gambionis. Now this new gang is muscling in, and I'm having to pay off 2 of them. It's making it a little tough to meet overhead.
New gang. What new gang?
They call themselves the Shadow Fists, toughs out of Chinatown.
When did this start?
Last week. I guess they waited until they knew I was back in town.
Which means they made quite a study of Joker Town.
A shrug.
Why not?
They're businessmen.
They're hoodlums.
Another shrug.
That too.
What are you going to do?
Keep paying both sides and hope they let me live in peace.
However long that's going to be, Tachyon muttered and drained the fresh cognac.
What?
Oh, hell. Dez, I'm not a blind man. I'm also a doctor.
What is it?
Cancer?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
The old man sighed. For a lot of complicated reasons, none of which I want to go into right now.
Or ever?
That, too, is possible.
I count you a friend.
Do you, Taki?
Do you?
Yes. Can you doubt it?
No, don't answer that. I've already seen it in your eyes and your heart.
Why not my mind, Tachyon? Why not read it there?
Because I honor your privacy. And
his face crumpled, and he sucked in a sharp breath.
Because I can't bear to face what I might read there.
He concluded quietly. He tossed more bills in the bar and started for the door.
I'll see what I can do to make your hope a reality.
What?
That you end your days in peace.
It had been the same story at Ernie's and Gobbler's Delicatessen and Spot's Laundry and so many others that he dreaded to even recall them all. Frowning, Tachyon tore the skin from an orange, the juice stinging briefly as it hit a hitherto unnoticed paper cut. Goons out of Chinatown, goons from the mob, and him with his big mouth promising to do something about it. Like what? He finished peeling the orange and popped a segment into his mouth. A light breeze ruled his curls and brought the sound of Blaze's delighted laughter. A rumbling call from Jack Braun sent the little boy scampering across the park, his red-stockinged legs a blur of motion. Braun leaned back, the football cradled in his big hand, and threw. He looked like a movie star, sun-bleached blonde hair falling across his forehead, tan, sinewy legs thrusting out from a pair of safari shorts, a very attractive, brilliantly colored Hawaiian shirt. Tack threw crusts of bread to some interested pigeons. How ironic. Sunday in the park with Jack. Hated enemy transformed into, well, perhaps not friend, but at least a tolerated presence. It didn't hurt that Jack's visit had been prompted by a desire to see Blaze, which raised him in Tack's estimation. To love Blaze was to find favor, and this outing had at least pulled Tachyon out of the brown study that had held him for days since his visit to the funhouse. The orange segment finally slipped down, and Tack's stomach rebelled. With a moan, he rolled onto his back on the blanket and fought down nausea. The wages of worry. Over the past few days, his stomach had closed down into a tight and painful ball. He began a litany of problems. The fear that lay like a palpable shadow over Jokertown. Leo Barnett offering to heal Jokers with the power of his god, and if they failed to respond, then clearly it was an indication of the depth of their sin. What if he became president? Peregrine. In a month, her child was due. The ultrasound he'd run 2 days ago still indicated a normal, viable fetus, but Tack knew with soul deep horror what the stress of the birth experience could do to a wild card babe. Blood and line, let this little one be normal. If it wasn't, it would destroy her. And he still hadn't been by the Jokertown precinct to work with a police artist on the preparation of a drawing of James Spector. A girl went jogging by, an Afghan hound loping at her heels. A sheen of sweat brought a golden glow to her skin, and several strands of long black hair lay plastered on her bare back. Tack watched the play of muscles in her legs and back, studied the ripe breasts bouncing beneath the halter top, and felt his mouth go dry, and the urgent thrust of his penis against his zipper. It was a bitter and tantalizing glimpse of wholeness, for he knew, after countless hopeless encounters, that the power would fade when the moment came upon him. Furious, he rolled onto his stomach and beat his fists on the ground. Furious at his impotence and at his flighty, undisciplined mind that could be distracted from concern over an ace killer by the sight of female flesh. A toe nudged him in the ribs and he shot to his feet. Hey, hey, Braun held up his hands placatingly. Take it easy. Where's Blaze? Tack stared anxiously about. I gave him some money for ice cream. You shouldn't have let him go alone. Something might happen. That kid can look out for himself. Braun dropped cross-legged onto the blanket, lit a cigarette. Mind if I give you some advice? Yes. You're not on Tacky's now. He's not a prince of the blood royal. Tachyon gave a bitter little laugh. No, far from it. He's an abomination. On Tacky's, he would be destroyed. Huh? The alien swept up the scattered orange peels and carried them to a garbage can. The greatest penalties are reserved for those who mingle their seed outside their class. How could we rule if everyone possessed our powers? He tossed back over his shoulder. Charming culture you come from, but it supports my point.
Being what?
Stop driving him crazy. You're laying way too much pressure on him. You expect him to abide by rules of behavior that have no correlation on Earth. And you're also spoiling him rotten. Music lessons, karate lessons, dance lessons, tutoring in algebra and biology and chemistry.
Well, you're wrong there. His third tutor quit days ago, and I haven't been able to find a replacement. And that is why I have to expect so much of him. His power and his breeding make him special. At least to me.
Tachyon, listen to me.
You can't give a kid every toy and every gimcrack he desires, tell him he's special, 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 and then expect him not to be an arrogant little bastard. Let him be a kid. Take his clothes.
What's wrong with his clothes? There was a threat in the husky voice.
Get him out of the knee breeches and the lace and the hats. Buy him some blue jeans and a Dodgers cap. He's got to live in this world.
I have not chosen to conform.
Yeah, but you're a crank. It's a big flamboyant act with you. You're also an adult and one incredibly arrogant son of a bitch. And you could care less what people say about you. You don't want Blaze to abuse his power, but you've almost guaranteed that he'll have to. There's nothing crueler than kids. And he's going to be tormented until he lashes out. And then you'll be disappointed and disapproving, and he'll be resentful. And what a perfect vicious circle you've created.
You should write a book. Clearly your vast experience has made you an authority on child rearing.
Ah, hell, Tachyon. I like the kid. I even occasionally like you. Love him, Tachyon. And relax.
I do love him.
No, you love what he represents. You're obsessive about him because you're...
He bit off the words and flushed a deep red.
Ah, hell.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
How do you even know?
Fantasy told me?
Bitch.
Hey, relax there too. And everything will probably work out. It's no big deal.
Baron, you cannot conceive of what a big deal it is. Progeny. Continuance. Oh, fuck. Are you also planning to offer psychiatric counseling at your new casino? Do what you do best, Jack. Drift and make money. But leave me alone.
With pleasure. Seizing the picnic hamper and the blanket, Tachyon stormed away in search of Blaze.
Where's Uncle Jack?
Uncle Jack had an appointment in Atlantic City.
You tried a fight again. Why did you fight so much?
Ancient history.
Then you should forget it.
Don't you start to, Tack waved on a cab.
Where are we going?
To Mark's.
Oh.
Please wait for me, Tachyon instructed when they pulled up in front of the Cosmic Pumpkin.
Okay, but the meter, she keeps running,
the man replied in a thick and unplaceable accent. That's fine.
I'll wait too,
said Blaze in a small voice, and Tachyon felt a moment's shame, remembering his lack of control the last time they had visited the pumpkin. He stuck his head in the door.
Mark?
Yo! Quick question. Have you been bothered with emissaries from various criminal organizations?
The handful of diners from C1Y stared at the Takesian wide-eyed.
Huh?
Tack expelled air in a sharp puff of irritation.
Have you been asked to pay protection?
Oh, is that what you meant? Oh, yeah, man, months ago, but I, like, had one of my friends show up and they haven't been back.
Would that everyone had friends like yours, Mark.
Is that it?
That's it.
Anything I can do to help?
I don't think so.
Tachyon slid into the cab and gave the hack the clinic's address.
Oh, Joker Towns, you's that doctors?
Yes.
I see you on the televisions. Peregrine's Perches.
That's Peregrine, and yes, that was me.
Holy Jesus!
The driver's exclamation jerked Tack's attention to the road ahead. A jumble of police cars, their lights flashing, blocked Hester Street. With a wail, an ambulance shot past.
Sheet! Must be another's, how you says, heats!
Stop. Stop at once. Leaping from the cab, Tack darted under the police tape. A woman's keening filled the air, and a basso voice amplified by a bullhorn ordered knots of muttering people to move along. Tachyon spotted Detective Mazarek and pushed up to him. What?
How the hell? Oh, hi, Doc.
The detective stared curiously at the small boy who gazed with interest at the sprawled bodies in the shattered restaurant. Tachyon rounded on Blaze. Get back to the cab and wait there.
Ah, now.
Looks like another little party, said Mazarek when Blaze had reluctantly drooped away. But this time, an uninvited guest got mixed up in it, too. He jerked his head towards the sobbing woman, who was clutching at a small form in a body bag, being lifted into the ambulance. Tachyon ran to the stretcher, unzipped the bag, and stared down at the child. He hadn't been very attractive to start with, a squat-bottomed, heavy body, set upon broad flippers, and he looked a lot worse with half his head shot away. Spinning, the Takesian caught the woman in a tight embrace.
My baby, don't let them take away my baby.
A rescue worker approached, hypodermic at the ready. Tachyon stilled the sobbing mother with a brief touch of his power and handed her to the man. Treat her kindly. Looks like Gambioni boys, Mazarek called as he stared thoughtfully down at one sprawled body. Several strings of spaghetti hung from the corpse's mouth, leaving wet, red trails on his chin. The fists came cruising by and opened up. Car will be found and be stolen, so that'll be another dead end. Too bad about the kid, though. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The detective noticed Tachyon's continued silence and glanced down. I don't want dead ends, Mazarek. I want these men. We're working on it. Perhaps it is time I took a hand. No, for Christ's sake, the last thing we need are civilians getting in the way. Just stay out of this. Nobody kills my people in my town. Huh? The mayor's gonna be mighty surprised to hear he lost and you won the last election, he yelled after Tachyon's retreating back. Cognac, spat Tachyon to Sasha, the Crystal Palace's blind bartender. He threw his blue velvet hat, sewn with pearls and sequins, onto the bar and tossed back the drink. He extended the snifter. Another. A whiff of exotic frangipani perfume, and Chrysalis slid onto the stool next to him. The blue eyes, floating within their hollows of bone, stared impassively down at him.
You're supposed to savor good brandy, not throw it down like a wino after a cheap drunk, unless that's what you're after.
You sound like a recruiter for AA.
Reaching out, Chrysalis wrapped one short red curl around her forefinger. So what's the matter, Tacky?
This senseless Gengor, today an innocent caught in the crossfire, a joker child. I think he lives in this block. I remember seeing him on Wildcard Day last September.
Oh, she continued playing with his short cropped hair.
Stop that. And is that all you have to say?
What should I say?
How about a little outrage?
I deal in information, not outrage.
God, you can be a cold bitch.
Circumstances have rather guaranteed that, Tachyon. I don't ask for pity, and I don't give any. I do what I have to do to survive with what I am, what I've become. He reared back at the bitterness in her voice, for she was one of his bastard children, born of his failure and his pain.
Chrysalis, we have to do something.
Like what?
Prevent Joker Town from becoming a battlefield.
It is already.
Then make it too dangerous for them to fight here. Will you help me?
No. I take sides and I've lost my neutrality.
Willing to sell weapons to all sides, eh? If that's what it takes.
What is it you're after, Chrysalis?
Safety.
He slid off the stool. There is none this side of the grave.
Go be a fire breather, Tachyon. And when you come up with something a little more concrete than an amorphous desire to protect Jokertown, let me know.
Why? So you can sell me out to the highest bidder?
And now it was her turn to rear back, the blood washing like a dark tide through the shadowy muscles of her face.
Okay, let's come to order now, called Dez, delicately tapping a spoon against the side of a brandy snifter. The shifting throng gave a final shudder, like a beast falling into sleep, and silence filled the funhouse. Mark Meadows, looking even more vacuous and absurd in the image-distorting mirrors of the funhouse, was conspicuous for his very normalcy. The rest of the room looked like a gathering of carnival freaks. Ernie the Lizard had his rill raised, and it was flushed a deep scarlet under the emotion of the moment. Arachne, her eight legs catching at the thread of silk being extruded by her bulbous body, placidly wove a shawl. Shiner, with Doughboy, huge and lumpish, seated beside him, jiggled nervously in his chair. Walrus, in one of his loud Hawaiian shirts, fished a paper from his shopping cart and handed it back to Gobbler. Troll leaned his 9-foot length against the door as if ready to repel any outsiders.
Doctor?
Dez dropped into a chair like a discarded suit. As Tachyon stepped forward to face the crowd, he wondered how much longer until the old man was forced to enter the hospital for that final stay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've all heard about Alex Reichman.
There were murmurs of assent, sympathy, and outrage. I had the misfortune to stumble across that scene only moments after the Shadow Fists had made their hit and succeeded in killing not only their intended targets, but one of our own. I've only been back a few weeks. I've heard the stories of intimidation and vandalism, but I thought I could stay neutral. In the words of another and perhaps more famous physician, I'm a doctor, not a policeman. That drew a couple of laughs. But the police are failing in their duty to us, Tachyon continued. Not perhaps out of deliberate neglect, but because this war far exceeds their capacity to keep the peace. So I would like to propose today that we form our own peacekeepers, a neighborhood watch on a grand scale, but with a twist. Many of you fall into that uncomfortable category of Joker Aces. The alien nodded to Ernie and Troll, whose metahuman strength was well known. I propose that we also form response teams, pairs of Jokers and Aces, ready to respond to a call from any concerned citizen of Jokertown. Dez has already offered the funhouse as the central axis, the switchboard, if you will, for incoming calls. People who agree to be part of this effort will turn in times they would be available and their work and home addresses. Whoever's on duty here will match a team to the problem spot and send them out.
Just a point, Tacky, called Jube. Those guys have guns.
True, but they're also just gnats. And some of my, the captain's friends are impervious to bullets, piped up Mark Meadows, as is Turtle and Jack and Hammer.
So you propose using aces as well? Asked Dez, a slight frown between his eyes. Tack looked at him in surprise. Yes.
May I point out that Rosemary Muldoon tried that back in March, and then it was revealed that she was a member of the Mafia herself? It's left rather a bad taste in people's mouths where aces are concerned.
Takyan waved aside this objection. Well, none of us are likely to be revealed as secret members of the Mafia. So, what do you think? Are you willing to work with me on this?
Where does Chrysalis stand on this? Asked Gobbler. And is it a comment that she's not here?
Well, began Tak, shifting uncomfortably.
Yeah, called out Gills. If Chrysalis isn't here, it's gotta mean something. She may know something.
Takyan stared in dismay at the sea of faces before him. They were closing down like night-blooming flowers retreating from the touch of the sun. Chrysalis and Dez have always been two of the top figures in Jokertown. If she's not in on this, I don't trust it, cried Gobbler, his red wattle bouncing on his beak. What about me? Cried Takyan.
You're not one of us. Never can be,
a voice called from the back of the room, and Takyan couldn't pick out the speaker. A grinding weight seemed to have settled into the center of his chest at the woman's words.
Look, we're not saying it's a bad idea, said the oddity. We're just saying that without Chrysalis, it seems like we're missing a major part.
If I get Chrysalis, asked the Takesian, a little desperately.
Then we're with you.
Digger Downs was trotting down the stairs from Chrysalis's private third-floor apartments. Takyan glared at him and nodded shortly. He noted that the journalist was carrying the current issue of Time, with Greg Hartman's picture on the cover and the caption, Will He Run?, and a copy of Who's Who in America. Hey, Tacky. Dez, what's the good word?
Beat it, Digger.
Hey, you're not still sore.
Beat it.
The public's got a right to know. My article on Peregrine's pregnancy did a valuable service. It pointed out the dangers of a wild-card child.
Your article was a sensational bit of garbage.
You're just pissed because Perry got mad at you. You never are going to get a crack at her, Doc. I hear she and that boyfriend are thinking about getting...
Takyan mind-controlled him and marched him down the stairs and out the front door of the Crystal Palace.
I'd consider that an assault, said Dez.
Let him prove it.
You don't have a lot of sensitivity sometimes, Takyan.
The alien turned, leaned against the banister, and frowned down at the Joker. Meaning what, Dez? You shouldn't involve Aces in what should be a Joker project, or don't you think we're capable of handling it ourselves?
Oh, burning sky, why are you so touchy? There was no implicit slur in my inviting in Aces. I would say the more firepower we have, the better.
Why are you doing this?
Because they are hurting my people, and no one hurts my people.
And Jokertown is my home.
And what?
You come from an aristocratic culture, Takyan.
Do you by chance view us as your own private fiefdom?
That's not fair, Dez, he cried.
But he knew that his hurt was tempered with a sudden flare of guilt. He climbed a few more stairs, then paused and said,
All right. No Aces.
Chrysalis was waiting for them, seated in a high-backed red velvet chair. Victorian antiques littered the room, and the walls were filled with mirrors. Tak suppressed a shudder and wondered how she could stand it, and again felt a stab of guilt. If Chrysalis wanted to look at herself, who was he to judge her? He, who in many senses was her creator. He frowned at Dez, wishing the old Joker had not raised so many uncomfortable emotions.
So, without me, you've got no goon squad, she drawled in her affected British accent.
I should have known that you would have heard by now.
That's my business, Tacky.
Chrysalis, please. We need you.
What are you going to give me for it?
Dez seated himself opposite her, hands clasped between his knees, leaned in intently.
Make a gift to yourself, Chrysalis.
What?
For once in your life,
Put aside profit and margin. You're a joker, Chrysalis. Help your fellows. I've spent 23 years fighting for jokers for this little piece of turf. 23 years with JADL measuring my life by a few successes. Now I'm dying and I'm watching it all erode away. Leo Barnett says we're sinners and our deformities are God's judgment upon us. To the fists and the mafia, we're just so many consumers. The ugliest, most hateful consumers they've got, but consumers nonetheless. And our town is their central marketplace. We're just things to them, Chrysalis. Things who stick their dope in our arms and our cocks and their women. Things they can terrorize and things they can kill. Help us stop them. Help us force them to see us as men. Chrysalis stared at him. Out of that impassive, transparent face, the skull without emotion. Chrysalis, you admire all things British. Then honor an old British custom of granting a dying man his last request. Help, Takyan. Help our people. The Dakisian held out his hand and twined his fingers through the fingers at the end of Dez's trunk, drew him close, and embraced him, said farewell.